God invites all of us as His children. There's no grandchildren in heaven. There's no nephews or nieces. There's only children in heaven. And God considers each one of us whom He has created, as the Bible describes in the Psalms, create us in our mother's womb, knit us together, that we are all His children. But some of us, we have a relationship with Him, and some of us, we are unknowingly not, we haven't had that relationship, or we don't have that relationship with Him yet. But God says even today, we can have that relationship with Him. This morning, I wanted to just share just for a few moments before we come to the Ritalik's dedication for little Abby as well, just a few thoughts regarding what God has to say about children. Now, all of us have heard children crying and calling out and this morning, which is great. It's fantastic to hear those voices. Sometimes we as adults, we get to the point where we think, it's a little distracting. But I think it's one of the most healthy and beautiful things that should occur within the church, is hearing little voices which are calling out and crying out and parents cuddling and oohing and aahing over their child. It's a beautiful time. It's a special time which is there and then it's gone. So we all face those sort of rites of passage. We all face those times where we see that child. First of all, we have that rite of passage as a parent and bringing home that child from the hospital, or maybe for a few of us it was at home, and coming home for the first time and thinking that all the other drivers on the road, on South Road and elsewhere, are all crazy. And we're kind of watching out for them as we're trying to transport that little precious bundle of joy back to our home where they'll be safe. For some of us, it's been a few years, and then we remember that that child, as they grow, they hit maybe about age 4 or 5, and they have that next rite of passage, and they go off to kindy or reception, and they're gone for maybe a few hours, and maybe it provides a bit of relief for a mom or a dad, but there's also that hesitancy to let go. Well, a few more years go by, and age 16, that child's no longer a child, and they're looking at you, and they're looking at that vehicle in the drive, and they're going, it's time. And you're going, no, it's not time yet. We haven't warned the rest of Adelaide. We haven't taken out news, you know, we haven't let everyone else know that you're about to get on the road. Those L plates are coming. And that can be a very interesting time as a parent. Very nerve-wracking. And I think at that time, we can perhaps draw a little bit more closer to God, especially as we're praying, as we're sitting in the passenger seat and as that child's at the wheel. Some of us, we get to that stage at age 18, and we see, as I saw yesterday for the first time, numerous young men and women who were coming and voting, lining up, and for ourselves being one of the polling stations, and going along with their parent and looking at these forms and trying to figure out 1 to 74, 84, who goes first and where do I mark? And sort of that rite of passage as well, too. There's that first job. There's that first date, potentially. There's that first kiss. There's that wedding day. There's that day when that birth of that child comes into your home. And perhaps for some of us, we're going, well, I haven't gotten there yet. Or it's been quite a while. But you see, each one of us here this morning, we either fit into that category of having been a child, we are a child, or we have some impact into a child within our family tree. Somewhere along the way. And through all these rites of passages, there's a rite of passage which sometimes some of us miss out on, and that's having that relationship with God, our Father in heaven. There's aches and there's pains, there's spare tires, there's bulging spares that come over the years. We won't talk about those this morning. But there are moments where we need to realize the wonderfulness of the rite of passage of children. This morning we've seen a bunch of the children, little ones, as they made their way out. They have their groovy God reigns over our very young, off to their classes to have fun and explore and to learn all about what God has created and who He is. But I'd like to take a few moments for us just to consider what God has to say about children. What does God have to say? The first passage I'd like to look at is over in Psalm 127. Psalm 127. God has a high regard for children. God cares about children. And when we see things in the news, we hear about tragedies that are occurring and other things which are happening even within our own city, it should disturb us in a way that motivates us to do something to protect children, to love and support and allow them to be cherished because they are a gift from God. Psalm 127, God speaks of His high regard. Psalm 127, starting verse 3, says this, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord, and children are a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the sons in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies at the gate." God says that children are a blessing, a reward. They're a heritage that God gives. And there are times where we don't have those children. We've moved on or we're at a different stage of life, or that's not something that was part of God's plan or design for us. But we need to understand that God has a really specific principle here, that the purpose of all children is to be a heritage to their parents, is to be a blessing. And as we see these little ones, we see Abby and we've seen James and we've seen Edward and we've seen many others as they've made their way out. There's lots of hopes and joys and dreams for their parents as they think about their future, as we think about them. But God has an even more specific one, that they would bring a heritage and a blessing. That heritage would not only be just, well, we've left some money in the bank account, we've left some property in the will for them, but more importantly, that we have invested time with them, that we have spent some quality time in investing, that they would know the things which we have cherished, which we appreciate, as parents, as grandparents, as aunts or uncles. But most of all, that they have a spiritual heritage as well, too. Something that they have seen and had role modeled by yourselves, by ourselves. That they have seen men and women, young men and old men and young women and more senior women. There's no old women here. But for each one of us, that they see a role model of someone who desires to stand and walk in the steps of God, to be a disciple and to be discipling others, to be a heritage. Jesus, as we heard, as Liz was reading over in Matthew 18, He also has some key words concerning children. And for us, as we think of the responsibility, but the challenge that God gives to us and being parents. At the time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who will be the greatest in heaven?" Wouldn't you like to know that answer? Who's going to be the greatest? Well, I think God's the greatest in heaven. But He called a little child and had him stand among them, and He said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." Jesus, He speaks very clearly that as parents, sometimes we like to think that we have all the answers. We certainly don't have all the answers when that little bundle of joy is suddenly a bundle of wah, 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 and we're not sure whether they need a change of a diaper or a nappy, or they need a bottle or what it is, or maybe they're just crying because they're crying. Sometimes it's because they're teething or whatever else, and as a parent, as a young parent, it can be very confusing, and we don't have all the answers. And so we have to become humble. We have to understand that we don't have all the answers and we need to ask others at times, whether it's a doctor or a family member or another, so that we can have wisdom on how to raise and take care of this bundle of joy, a gift of God. But also as well, too, that we turn first and foremost to being humble before God Himself and say, God, this precious little gift that You have blessed our family with, this little life, has one life to live. This little person has a soul which You cherish and You love, that You sent Your Son Jesus Christ to die for on a cross, that the penalty could be paid for their sin and for mine, and that Your desire, God, is that they would know You, that they would accept You, Jesus, that they would have a relationship with God. God, help me to, as a parent, to relate that to them, to model that to them, to teach them, to be humble, and just as I am humbled, Lord, that I would be a representative and teachable to them, that they would be humble and have that same regard for You. We're commanded to teach our children about the love of God and who He is. And then thirdly, we have some instructions that God gives back over in Deuteronomy, early part of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn over there, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 4 through 9. Well, you can read on. God says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. "And these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk to them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." God has some specific things for us. If perhaps we have never done this, if this is something which is different than what we've ever understood as a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or uncle, wherever God has placed us in relation to kids. That, first of all, that it's not just a matter of relating to them, to these children, some knowledge. It's a matter that it's on our hearts as well. That the same things that we're relating to them are things which we've experienced. That we've experienced what it means to have God's grace and forgiveness. That we've experienced what it means to be humble or to be teachable or to receive mercy or to forgive another or to turn the other cheek. To have them upon our own heart, to teach them diligently. You know, I think for my generation, a lot of us were sent off to a Sunday school or sent off to church, and it was expected that that place would be the place where they'd be instructed about all these things about God and about good morals. And then we would be picked up or taken home, and that was the end of it. There was no follow-up. There was no following on into the week by parents or by others. And so it became very separate between what we see on a Sunday or what we see in the church setting and what we see in the rest of life. And I think the world, they see that often with those who've been raised up leading a very double life, where we have one set of rules or one set of way of how we live and how we speak and how we act, and then a very different one in the wake. But God says there shouldn't be two. It should be the same. That there shouldn't be a difference between one day of the week and 7 days of the week. As we teach them diligently to our children, we talk of what God has said. As we sit in the house, as we do life together. Think about that in your moments today. You've already sat down, you've had brekkie, you've gotten in the car, you've driven together, you've come in the doors, you've found a seat, you've already maybe thinking of this afternoon and what you're going to do, or maybe going to the Royal Adelaide Show, or whatever it might be. But you're thinking of what you're going to be doing next, where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing. But are you thinking what you're going to be relating in those times? Are you thinking about those moments that God gives you specifically to invest into the lives of those around you? The critical lesson I'd like us to take away this morning is the importance of being there, living in this moment which God has given. Yes, God also promises heaven and an eternity But he gives this moment as a moment that you'll never have again. That the moments that we have with our children will be moments to invest in a heritage for eternity. The importance of being there. As parents, sometimes we juggle with our priorities and the busyness of life, even as grandparents. And how often do we say, in just a minute? How many of us have said that? I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand. Well, there's an honest hand. We say, just a minute, or I'll get to that. I've got something else to do, but I'll be with you shortly. And sometimes we follow up, and sometimes we just hope that it kind of goes away. But it's not just going away of that issue. It's the going away of that child. Quality time can't be scheduled. Quality time of spending time with God, but also spending time with those whom He's entrusted to us as parents is highly important. God values that highly, just to be there. Be in those moments when the child comes in the door from school and is sobbing and is upset or mad and goes to their room and you ask, how was your day? Fine. And you know it's not fine. You can't schedule those moments to go and sit down and follow up and ask. God says in Deuteronomy 6:4, it's about as we go through life, along the road, as we lie down, as we get up, as we write them on our hands and on our foreheads, it'll be evident in our day. There'll be reminders. You see, and the ones who are going to be the experts on parents are the little ones. Because just like lambs who are in the paddock and they're watching the older sheep, they'll go exactly where they go. They'll do exactly what they do. And so it's the same with their children and little infants. They'll start picking up on the things which we're really happy they want. We want them to be following and doing. Whether it's to go and vote or to vote for a certain party or to vote for the other party or to go shopping at this one place or to do things this one way. But they'll also see the role model and example that you and I provide towards what God says, the spiritual role model. So there's two things I'd like to encourage us to consider this morning. Is first of all, to pray for your children. You may think about it, and I have to confess as well too. There are times where I say, I'm going to set this time aside in praying for my kids, and sometimes it happens, and other times it happens much later on. But for us to pray for our children, that the fact is that the majority of people come to know Jesus Christ and have a relationship with God before age 18. That doesn't disqualify the rest of us who are older, but their hearts are more receptive to listening to what God has to say. And secondly, to provide ministry for our children, a ministry of unconditionally loving them and supporting them, but also helping them to hear and know about Jesus Christ. So this morning, I'm going to pose six questions to you just as we close. And as I go through them, I just want you to consider and say, yes, I will, to each of these questions. Will you lift these children up, which we have dedicated and are dedicating this morning, as well as those whom you know and have contact with in your week? Will you lift these children up along with their parents in prayer on a regular basis? Will you, whenever you think of them by name or see their face, remember to say a word or two to God and ask for His blessing on their life? Will you, when you hear of illness or tragedy, or ask for God to intervene in their life in that moment? When tragedy strikes or their parents, will you fall to your knees and ask God His comfort for them? Will you support the ministries of this church here as we seek to provide a safe place for them to learn about God and His love for them and for the world? And finally, will you do whatever you can, whenever you can, with all your abilities and all your strength, to see that these children love and learn that God loves them and that Jesus is their friend who gave his life to provide a way home for all of us. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Jesus, we thank you this morning for your words of life, your words of encouragement, and your words concerning the value of children, the value of a life. God, would you help us at whatever stage, wherever we find ourselves, would you help us this morning to be able to answer yes to each one of those questions? Would you help us to have the willpower and the strength that only comes from you to follow through, to love children, to support them, to encourage them, to lead them to a relationship with Jesus Christ? God, would you start a work in us first, though? Because maybe we are here and we need to have that rite of passage to encounter who God is, to encounter Jesus Christ for the first time, to accept that he died for us, that he took our place on the cross as our payment, our penalty for our sin, our rebellion against God. But that it's a free gift that's offered. And that God says the wages of the sin is death, but the gift of God, which is Jesus Christ, is eternal life. Would we be willing to accept that this morning? That rite of passage we would mark off the list and be a turning point in our lives as we look forward to whatever you have in store today and tomorrow and the rest of our lives. But God, we give you thanks for this time. Would you help us as your church to value children, to love them, to support them, to encourage parents as they do as well? We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.